Hey, before we get to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang, thank you from all of us here at JoeBucksFan.com. Keep on listening. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, at Joe Bucks Fan. Subscribe. It's free. Get a free alert. It is the way to do it, and other platforms as well. Thank you very much. Tonight, quick reminder, Friday night, Bill Curry Ford Classic Car Show, free admission, 7 o'clock. All the details at JoeBucksFan.com. Dozens of vehicles, A-plus food trucks. It's going to be a good time, just like the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Superlatives, positive thoughts, good words, glad tidings, all of the above, Tampa Bay. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford, who remind you, new 65-inch HD television with every new vehicle purchase at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to watch Lightning games in style. The playoff push is here, so why not push for a brand new vehicle today? BillCurryFord.com. My, oh my, oh my. 8 points available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since we last spoke. We grabbed all eight of them. We have not suffered a regulation loss in the month of February. We did that in December. Of this very season, where we didn't suffer a regulation loss for the entirety of a month. We have three more games to go in February before we can say the same about this month. But here you go. 98 points through 62 games. We are winning better than 75% of our hockey games. We have won seven straight or more for the third time this season. We are in a very select few who have done that in one regular season, 182-game slate to win seven or more games, three or more different times. Only the Edmonton Oilers. They had guys named Gretzky and Messier, among many others, on those teams, have done so four separate times. And that's a little bit more impressive because there were ties in those days. But if you look at any turn, if you look at any topic, individual or team, we are now in the stratosphere of all-time great. Yes, it's a regular season. Yes, Stanley Cup or bust. Said it before the season even started on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. That still remains true, but embrace the greatness you are watching. Nikita Kucherov clears 100 points in his 62nd game of the season. That is the fastest anybody in the game has gotten to the century mark since Mario Lemieux over 20 years ago. As I like to say, the Pittsburgh Penguins teams of the mid-90s are the standard bearers in my lifetime for offensive output. I didn't get to see the Oilers in the 80s, and even then, man, everybody was scoring four and five goals a night. Goaltending was just so awful. And so the Penguins arrived at this intersection of where the trap was becoming in vogue, and goaltending was so much better. And yet they still produced at ridiculous rates. They were all-time great, offensively speaking. They didn't finish with the cup, and let's hope that we do that a little bit differently. But as a kid, going to the Thunderdome or the early years of the Ice Palace, if you could see Jagr or Lemieux, to me that was the best ticket I could get. And I loved the Avalanche as my playoff team growing up. Tampa never made the playoffs except in 96, so I tried to adopt a playoff team, and it was the Colorado Avalanche before they ever won a thing. With a team with Sakic and Forsberg and Deadmarsh and Foote and Patrick Waugh and Nett, among many other great players. But I always wanted to see Jagr and Lemieux play. And I think the really cool thing about what we're doing to this league right now, in an era where the salary cap is king, you are not supposed to be this excellent. We are now, for young kids who love hockey around the country, that standard. We are the team that they want to play with when they fire up NHL from EA Sports on their Xbox or PS4. That's who we are. That's who Nikita Kucherov is. That's who Stamkos is and Braden Point. They're going to grow up knowing our players' names the way we did, various ages, knowing the Islanders teams if you're a little bit more of an old-timer. Those Canadiens teams in the 70s, of course. And the Pittsburgh Penguins teams and Avalanche and Red Wings teams of my youth. I mean, I knew every one of those guys because they were great. And that's who we are to the next generation right now. Do we finish the job? That remains to be seen. And I do have a little bit of a concern. I'll touch on it in the second segment of today's podcast. I mean, it's not an overriding concern the way it was worded in an article that I read this week. But, I'll weigh it out. Before I do that, though, and with all due respect to Nikita Kucherov, who has been just incredible, I think it's pretty awesome that his 100th point is his 30th goal, so he's an even 30-70 split. He's already set a franchise record for most assists in a season. We got 20 games to go. Next week, I'll get into what he's chasing. Joe Thornton, Yager, Mario Lemieux, in the last 20, 25 years, they put up astronomical point totals. Nikita Kucherov has those in the crosshairs. So we'll break that down next week, and then we'll follow it thereafter. And one more superlative, actually, before I get to my talking points on two players in particular that I like to watch right now and that we just need to talk about more. We have 47 wins, people, in 62 games. We have won 47 times in 62 games so far this season. No other team in the NHL has more than 37 wins. Nobody. Games in hand, I don't care. Nobody's even flirting with 40 victories, and we have 47. I don't care that five of them come in a shootout, as last night's victory did against Buffalo. And how about Carter Hutton? What a night for him. I thought Sun Sports was exactly right to give him the first star of the game. You could probably give the second star to the posts because we hit a bunch of them. But Hutton was fantastic from the word go. I mean, Braden Point had two chances in the first 5 minutes of that game. Point blank in the slot. It was a harbinger of things to come for Buffalo in the net. So the Sabres pick up a point. And Brian Engblom was right last night. Buffalo does play their best hockey against us. And you saw that a little bit this week. I mean, Columbus outplayed us for the balance of that game. But the chances we got in the first period, a couple of Kucherov goals. And now we're rolling. We're off and running. But they did a really good job of pressuring us in our zone. I'm getting sidetracked. I'll get to all that later. Steven Stamkos deserves so much praise. The player he has become this year is fantastic to watch. And really, I didn't think I would ever see number 91 playing like he is this year. The way he is. It's not just about the goal scoring that's come back. And I understand that this season projects to be, especially if the power play keeps clicking, his best goal scoring output in a long, long time. It's a return almost to the form of his the first iteration of his career where he was known as just a sniper. He sees the ice in a way I never thought he could. Marty St. Louis saw the ice in a way that it was about making plays. It was not about scoring goals himself. If he did, fine. And if what he saw said, I need to shoot the puck, fine. And he could do, you know, better than most. Shoot the puck and find the open spot of the net. But he saw the ice as a playmaking surface. He didn't see it as, I'm going to score. Stamkos now sees the ice like that. And I understand last year, if you look at his goals to assist ratio, you'd say, well, he's absolutely a playmaker. But when you play with Nikita Kucherov for a lot of games, well, 86 is going to finish. You don't have to be the greatest playmaker in the world. And if you look at Stamkos' career up to that point, you'd say, that's a bit of an outlier. I certainly don't expect him to be that type of player again. Well, he is. He is exactly that player this year. He's playing separate 86, which is one of the keys to the season, keys to the postseason, continue to produce separate each other in five-on-five play. And if he had better finishers around him, Stamkos would have another 20 assists this season. Plain and simple. 91 made three or four plays last night before the halfway mark against Buffalo. That I'm not saying that, you know, Miller and Palat are below average. I'm not even hinting at that because Miller's the other guy we're going to talk about. But, you know, if you had one elite scorer on that line, a goal scorer like Stamkos in his youth, Stevens' numbers would be through the roof. He'd be challenging, I think probably Patrick Kane. I don't know. It's probably too much to say Kucherov, but he'd be challenging Patrick Kane for second place in points. I don't think it's crazy to say that. The faceoffs have come to life. He's always tried in the defensive zone. I just, for most of his career, I don't think Stamkos knew what he was doing back there, but he's better there. He's a playmaker on offense. He's skating with freedom. 91 has answered the bell, and I said it last week kind of tongue-in-cheek. I challenged him, like, who the hell are you, pal? Joe Bolts fan, whatever. But he has answered any criticism to his game this season, and it's worth noting. In a year where we are going to look at Nikita Kucherov, and I said it earlier this season that Braden Point is your best forward on the team. Braden is anybody's best, you know, two or three on any roster in the league. He's one of your top three. Stamkos has come on since late November. Did you see the graphic last night? If you didn't, and you didn't catch the game against Buffalo, they do such a great job on Fox Sports Sun of kicking up little graphics and statistical anomalies, because there's a lot of anomalies this year with the Lightning to the good side of the equation. But Stamkos has scored the most goals since late November in the NHL. And he was, for the first whatever amount of games before this little line of delineation when we played Buffalo at the end of November, Stamkos was on a pace for, what, about 70, 75 points. I mean, a really good season. He had 7 goals, 21 assists, or 7 goals and 21 points in 27 games, whatever it was. But he's gone absolutely insane since then, and I feel like he's being shortchanged. I never thought, sitting here, especially as we started the Joe Bolts Fan podcast a year ago, that I'd sit here saying, man, I feel bad for Steven because he's not getting his just due. I was more along the lines of, listen, he's a good player, but he's quite limited, and I think he's more of an anchor on this team than he is somebody who frees it up, because you have to get him his ice time, and you have to get him, you have to put him in situations in order to finish, because he can't go do it himself. I know what the number said last year, but that's how it felt watching him. It felt like he was a kind of a one-trick pony, and he could be limited on the ice. No more, man. No more. As long as that dude stays healthy, he has turned into a completely different player. And maybe, just maybe, we should have listened to 91 when he said, it's going to take time to feel comfortable in my own skin again after the injuries I've suffered. Because he does look comfortable. And I don't think this is some sort of one-season outlier. The way he's playing now, I think, is just going to be the standard moving forward. And so it's very exciting to watch Steven Stamkos play the game that way. Hopefully his attitude and his leadership in the playoffs matches the intensity that we're going to see on the ice. But, I mean, all signs point to him being the type of captain that you need to lean on in a key moment. I thought in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, Ryan Callahan, for all intents and purposes, was your captain. And if it wasn't him, it was Victor Hedman. But Stamkos wouldn't even have a letter on his jersey for me last year in the East Finals. No more, man. And I really hope he follows through on what is an incredible regular season with that kind of intensity in the playoffs. You don't always have to produce gobs of goals and assists. But if you can elevate everybody around you, which is what Steven Stamkos is doing, then you are the player that deserves to be on the marquee, which is what he's been since he's arrived in Tampa Bay. JT Miller is the second player I want to talk about, and it's not, I won't be as long-winded about number 10, but notice his game, man. It's come to life. The Philly game, you see that shot again. He's got an incredible shot. I mean, it just explodes off his blade. And he beat Carter Hart. I mean, you could say that Hart cheated the wrong way, but I mean, that's a perfect shot. And then the playmaking ability to find Yanni Gourde along the goal line on the power play. Again, not the greatest goal given up, but an awesome idea. And that's what Miller's been bringing to the table for a few weeks now, close to a month. You can see the wheels turning in his head. He's starting to envision plays before they happen, and then he's executing on them. JT Miller was a revelation when he was brought to Tampa last year in the deal that also brought Ryan McDonagh to town. And maybe he is Mr. Springtime. Hopefully. And hopefully he is a constant contributor on that number one power play. I think he's better off there than Andre Palat. I understand that there's a bit of a seniority thing going on there, but if you're going by merit, JT brings more to the table, and I give him more and more run as we get down to the stretch run here, because we need a few more guys who can finish around the net. That'll be something I touch on in the second segment here. Again, this is just a concern. If I have one, this would be it. Mikhail Sergachev this week is playing a lot better. I think we might just have to keep a close eye on Mikhail, every two or three games. He's quite streaky, But if you look at his comfort level last night against Buffalo, the way he was skating through traffic, relieving pressure, and that's the number one thing for a defenseman. I think it's honestly the number one thing in hockey in general is just if you're on the surface, be it you're an inline player in Tampa or you're somebody who plays at the highest level, relieve the pressure. If you are in a tight situation where the checking is close and you can get the puck to somebody who will have more time and space, you do it. That's kind of the way it works. I mean, think about how our power play operates. If somebody challenges Hedman at the point, all right, time to decide. Do I go to Kucherov? Do I go to Stamkos? Are they shading one of the two guys? All right, then I go the other way. Do I need to create an angle so I can backhand pass it by getting a guy to move with me? That's what I do. That's the whole thing on defense as you're trying to get out of the zone is relieve pressure. If it has to circle back behind the net, okay, you don't want to do that three or four times, but if you need to do it once and you get it on the stick of your teammate, no problem. Fire it to the far side wall. He's got to skate and go get it. That's better than me being checked by Jeff Skinner. So Sergachev did a really good job of that last night. I think in general he's played pretty well this week. But, you know, watching as we get into the playoffs here, the playoff push, we have three games with the Washington Capitals who are peaking people. Washington will be challenging the New York Islanders for that top spot in the Metropolitan Division. They just took down Toronto up in Toronto last night, 3-2. So, we'll have opportunities. We play Boston down the stretch, Toronto down the stretch, to really vet out, is Sergachev going to be somebody that's going to play all of a best of seven or half of the games? Where does Girardi fit in that mix? And then Chernak, as long as his legs are fresh, I think he'll certainly be there. But you got to monitor his rest as well. So keep an eye on 98 moving forward. And we'll see how Joe Smith said it last night, and he's fairly dialed in. He put on Twitter, I wouldn't be surprised if these are the pairings moving forward as the Lightning at least enters the playoffs. And that would be you have Hedman, Strawman, McDonough, Chernak, and Coburn, and Sergachev. For my money, I think on paper that's the correct six that should be playing. But I'm open in the last 20 games here to see who's playing the best. Just because I'm not a huge fan of Dan Girardi because he's got cement blocks for feet doesn't mean that he doesn't have value. And if you need to play him 15 minutes a night and you can play him on the PK, there is value in that. So I'm sure that's exactly what the Lightning will be doing moving forward. But of the four games this week, I said 8 points available. We grabbed all eight of them. Montreal tried to bully us on Saturday night. Notice that, man. People are going to give us their best shot. Montreal was trying to make a statement, and Carey Price was fantastic, but we break the ice in the third period, and we explode there. Their coach is a bit of a you-know-what. I'm used to that. It's never about what the other team does. It's always about, well, we didn't do this or we didn't do that. Clearly, the edict before the game was take it to us physically, but notice how we respond so much better to it than we used to. I mean, look at Braden Point last night. Drops the gloves with Skinner. He's not having any of it. Nikita Kucherov getting in the face last night of 55. His name escapes me because I've got morning memory failure. But that guy was a thorn in our side all night. Nikita had enough of it. Same thing on Saturday. Got scrappy with Montreal. No problem. No problem. We will answer the bell. Columbus on Monday night. I thought they did a great job. Torts had a good game plan for us. If I was going to scout against us, I'd say the more pressure you can generate when we have the puck in our own zone, the better. You're going to give up some breaks. You're going to give up some two-on-ones. But when you're outgunned like Columbus is, your best bet is to try and force the issue before we get going into transition. It cost them in the first period. We only had, a handful of shots, and Nikita Kucherov scored on two of them, and that thing gets rolling. But that's, if I'm Columbus, I walk out of a 5-1 loss, and I say I think we played pretty well. Philadelphia was just outgunned. We took care of them. They tried to scare us again with a late comeback. Something about that building. The game is never over, really. Like, even with 3 minutes to go and you got a 3-goal lead, it feels like it's never over. But we handle business there. We chase the young Carter Hart. And then, of course, last night, Buffalo, an incredible display of goaltending from both guys. Carter Hart now played Vasilevsky. But that doesn't mean Vasilevsky played poor by any stretch of the imagination. But we get it done 2-1. Okay, so my concern about the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs, it's not a major one. I'm not Chicken Little here or anything. But let's vet it out, and we'll do so right after this on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Shoot! Bruins scores! Oh, unbelievable!
From a Dave Mishkin call to a couple of Rick Peckham calls, that's last year's overtime Braden Point goal with the toe drag from Satan's pit of love. I don't know what that means either. So welcome back to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Happy Friday, Tampa Bay. We have the weekend off. Kind of weird. We don't play till Monday night. I love it that the guys get some rest, that we've won however many in a row now. I think we're 10-0-2 in our last 12. I'd rather have the rest now. We're doing just fine. I don't think anybody's going to catch us. So I'd rather have the rest, allow our guys to catch their breath a little bit, and then we have three games next week before we speak again. We host the LA Kings on Monday, and then we play back-to-backs with the Rangers and Bruins. So I read something this week on the hockey news, and they're a really good source of just, daily information. If you're looking for kind of like a summary of what's going on around the league, like the big storylines, THN is really good on Twitter. Just look up the hockey news, and you can find different columnists they have. But it's a good follow. It's a good site to just, check in and see how the West is doing, other teams in the East, and what their big storylines are there. And one of the concerns that came up this week regarding the Lightning and the playoffs, and this is all tied to the trade deadline, which is on Monday. And do I expect them to make a move? My people say, don't hold your breath. But if the right offer's out there, maybe we could go get somebody. It sounds like the asking price this year is so astronomically high for some of these, bottom six forwards or a third pair D-man that you don't want to bother. And when we're as loaded as we are, I don't think you want to give up a whole bunch of assets unless something makes sense, even more so for the longer term than it does just for a rental for this playoff run. So in conjunction with those talking points, a couple of anonymous scouts and general managers in the Eastern Conference said that Tampa may be a bit of a paper tiger. And the reason they say that is because they believe that we rely way too much on our power play. Now, our power play is flirting with a 30% or more mark for the season, which would be all-time great. I mean, that puts you with the top three or four power plays to ever play this game if you can cross the 30% threshold. So I looked up our power play goal numbers. We do have 61 power play goals this year. We're at 29.8% after going 0 for last night against the Sabres. We hit one post. That was Kucherov. But we've scored so many goals overall that the 60-plus in the power play is not an astronomical number as it relates to our total goals. But a couple of reasons that I think that has a little bit of weight to it, that concern has a little bit of weight. Number one is Tyler Johnson. Tyler is playing on the top line with Kucherov and Point. And even though he is playing on the top line with Kucherov and Point, since New Year's Day, he only has 8 points. We've played a ton of games since New Year's. I won't bore you by counting, but, 8 points, 3 goals, and 5 assists since the turn of the new year. That tells you that 5-on-5, that line isn't really doing as much. And or you may need to experiment with somebody else in that top group. Tyler does have a knack for producing in the playoffs, and that's great. But you would think just by happenstance, if you're playing with a guy who has more than 70 points and a guy who just hit 100 points in a season, and you're skating with them every single night, you probably should have a little bit more output than 8 points since New Year's Day. The second thing that concerns me is the idea of the 5-on-3 fear in the postseason. And what I mean by that is officials really don't like to allow for a 5-on-3 in the postseason unless something is just egregious and obvious, and they have to call it. Like a ridiculous trip on a breakaway, or you got a 2-on-1 and you hook somebody from behind, and it's just obvious for the world to see. I have to call that a high stick that draws blood, whatever. My fear here is the Lightning power play is so good that officials might be a little hesitant to raise the arm because they know what that means in a 2-1 game we're winning in the third period with 5 minutes to go. The standard may have been different earlier in the game, but they know if we go on the power play, it's likely game over right there. I do get worried about that. So while the third line, I think, you know, and we've been moving a couple of the parts, obviously JT climbing up with Stamkos line with Palat, and you throw Yanni Gord down there with Cirelli and with Killorn, and I really like that line. I think that line is made for the playoffs. If Tyler's not going to produce 5-on-5, you may want to at least look around and see in the final 20 games if you can't find a line combination that's a little bit hotter. Maybe they come to life. Maybe he comes to life as a player. But for somebody who started the year out really well and was talking about comeback player of the year and all that, I mean, he's kind of tapered off. In October, he had 9 points. In November, he had 8. December, he had 13. He surged, he had 8 goals, 5 assists. But since then, just 3 goals and 5 assists in 2 months' time. I don't know. That's not really getting it done. So we're not perfect. We are historically great, though. So as I said in the beginning, I don't want it to seem like Chicken Little, but we are not without issues. And while maybe 2 weeks ago I would have said protecting our net and giving up high percentage chances was our number one issue, I do think 5-on-5 play is important now. And a good example is just if we ever go to overtime, stop caring about the game in the sense of it's going to teach you anything. 3-on-3 is not going to teach you anything about the playoffs, about what you're capable of doing. Like when we tied the Islanders, right? You know, it was 0-0 after regulation. That was just a war. Well, now you're a coin flip in the playoffs as to who actually wins that game. That we have more skill 3-on-3 and that we have Vasilevsky in the shootout is immaterial in the playoffs. Last night, same thing. Skate to a 1-1 decision against Buffalo after regulation. We're playing 20-minute overtimes, and now it's about a double deflector. Who gets it first? That's what I want to see down the stretch here, is how do we handle 5-on-5 play, and what is our goal differential there? How do our top two lines perform? What are the combinations going to be? And then is the third line going to still consistently give us some production? Chances are we'll be better than every other team in the league in these facets, but when you're trying to measure against a cup or bust curve, this is where you are. This is what you're left with. As for this show today, what you will be left with is a tune. It's a random tune. I don't know what I'm going to hit yet, so I'm not going to tease it. But enjoy your weekend, Tampa. We are hockey-free until Monday when we play the LA Kings, and it's back-to-backs both on NBC Sports in the midweek next week when we play the New York Rangers up at MSG, and then we play the Boston Bruins. That should be a good game because Boston is starting to get red hot. Great goaltending, as you have come to expect from the Bruins. So maybe 2 or 3 goals will be enough to get it done in the TD Garden. We will talk to you next week on Friday. Enjoy your time, Tampa, and obviously stop and smell the roses. It's not quite edge of your seat period of the season yet. So enjoy as we hit these benchmarks and we're teasing history week in and week out. Talk to you next week. All right, so here's an extra little track. Here you go. I figured out what I wanted to play. It was about 10 minutes after I got done recording, but here it is. It's Freight Train is the name of the song from the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. This is a Jeff Cameron Show favorite up here in Tallahassee for a Friday. I figure why not allow Tampa Bay to take in this greatness? Freight Train by Elizabeth Cotton and Annie DeFranco from the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Let it ride, folks. This is a fun tune. Gone.